This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia native Patrice Harris has been elected as the first Black woman president of the American Medical Association. Harris spoke with reporter Kara Lofton recently about her new appointment and what she hopes to accomplish in the position.
West Virginia and Appalachia as a whole have a history of health issues. Being familiar with this region, what policies might help improve the health of this region from the perspective of the American Medical Association?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you ask about policies because one of the things that I was able to learn early on, in fact, right out of residency when I visited the Georgia State Capitol, was the importance of policy and the impact of policy on health, both the health of individuals and the health of the broader community. And in fact, that is one reason why I first got involved in organized medicine. We have, as two of our areas of strategic focus right now, pre-diabetes and hypertension. We know that there are so many folks who have risk factors for developing diabetes. We know that there are a significant number of our citizens who have untreated hypertension. Both of those conditions lead to, of course, more significant and serious consequences later on. So it's about prevention. It's about identifying chronic care conditions early. The AMA, of course, is very supportive of the fact that coverage is important and that everyone should have access to coverage so that they can identify routine sources of care, again, to identify illnesses early, and in fact, hopefully, to go even further upstream to prevent those issues. The AMA has long-standing and a very deep and wide policy portfolio when it comes to addressing what we call the social determinants of health. Those factors outside the exam rooms where we need to address, we need to make sure that there are opportunities for everyone to have access to fresh food and opportunities to exercise and increase our physical activity. When we are talking about health and preventing illnesses, we have to make the right thing to do the easy thing to do. And so the AMA has great policy. I'm very proud of the work that I have done regarding the social determinants of health. We need to make sure that there is health equity to address areas of health disparity. The strategies, the needs, the interventions that are needed in West Virginia may, in some ways, be different than are needed here in Atlanta, Georgia. And so it's important to have a community focus as we look into addressing health issues.
What are the main things you hope to tackle under your tenure as president of the American Medical Association?
Well, at the American Medical Association, the president, of course, and I won't be president until next June, is the primary spokesperson for the policies of the AMA and the broader physician community. You know, the AMA House of Delegates is represented of all states and all specialties. That is very powerful, where we have representatives, again, come from all over this country and decide what is AMA policy. So I will first and foremost be a spokesperson for our policy. We have three areas that we are focusing on. I mentioned chronic disease. As part of that, as you know, I chair the AMA's Opioid Task Force. So that is under our chronic disease umbrella. We also are looking at innovating around the way we train our next generation of leaders. And our third priority is to reduce the administrative and regulatory and other burdens that are interfering with physicians' ability to care for our patients. So we have those three broad areas. But as a woman, as an African American, as someone who grew up in a family where there were no physician relatives from a small town, I hope to be an inspiration to those who would like to seek a career in the healthcare arena and particularly seek to be a physician. And I will say, the other issue is, as you know, I am a psychiatrist, and I hope to, again, continue to amplify the importance of mental health care and the criticality of integrating mental health care and understanding mental health care as a very important part of overall health care, not a separate phenomenon, but important as we address health care in general. So again, it's going to be a wonderful opportunity, and I just hope to continue to be able to give voice to those policies that we know can improve the health of our nation.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Some areas of fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today. There's a slight chance of afternoon rain and thunderstorms in the north, highs in the 80s and low 90s. Slight chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 60s and 70s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by Marshall Health, the medical practice of the Marshall University Joan C. Edwards School of Medicine, providing primary and specialty health care to West Virginians. More at marshallhealth.org. International trade brings us fruits and vegetables, computers and cars. But here's another thing it brings in: invasive species. Pennsylvania is now a battleground against the latest invader, known as the spotted lanternfly, which hitched a ride here from Asia. State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips reports on the rush to keep it from migrating to other parts of the country.
The Port of Philadelphia's inspection station is a giant warehouse that smells, surprisingly, of pineapples. Workers unload large tractor trailers carrying boxes of potato chips, barrels of honey, and pallets of tires. Armed customs officials lead drug-sniffing dogs around these imports. Logan Alcala looks through boxes of Central American plantains, carefully examining each one, not for cocaine, but for bugs and seeds.
Not a lot of people are willing to be on their knees all day, but once you find those bugs, it's kind of like a little addiction because it's just so satisfying.
Armed with a biology degree and a flashlight, Alcala works for U.S. Customs and Border Protection. She spots a spider and a seed.
You can see it pops out with the flashlight right here.
Oh, yeah.
Alcala and her colleagues are the first line of defense against invasive species. And last year, her team found 475 potentially harmful bugs and seeds coming in through the Port of Philadelphia.
One of my favorite things is looking at wood pallets, trying to get the Asian gypsy moth, or like you mentioned, the lanternfly.
The spotted lanternfly most likely arrived from Asia on a boat or a plane carrying imported goods. First discovered in Berks County in 2014, it has spread across 13 counties in Pennsylvania, munching on maple trees, grapes, and fruit trees. And the worst thing is, it's not very tasty, so it has no known predators.
There are no birds coming and picking the nymphs off the trees.
David Parr first saw the brightly colored red and black moth while grilling with his kids on his deck in Montgomery County in the spring of 2015.
And I looked up and I saw an adult and said, "Oh my word, this is the spotted lanternfly. Kids, come take a look at it," because I trapped it and I put it in a jar and said, "This is what we need to be on the lookout for."
Parr is an arborist trained to spot pests.
And they said, "Oh yeah, Dad, we know. They're all over our trees." I said, "What do you mean? They're all over our trees." And sure enough, I go out and look. Yeah, they've been knocking them off and playing with them and whacking them with ball bats.
Parr began getting calls from homeowners about a year ago, desperate to save their trees from the pests. Today, he's working at a home in Collegeville, Montgomery County, which has maples and willows infested with lanternfly nymphs. Right now, they look like a black beetle with white spots. He inspects a silver maple he's been treating.
So these are all the dead guys. If you look by my left hand here, here's a little bit bigger one.
Oh, wow.
And you can see he's a little bit bigger.
The lanternfly is known as a plant hopper. They hop around and suck sap from just about anything, trees, shrubs, herbs. So they could do a lot of damage to crops. Later in the summer, the nymphs turn into moths with brightly colored red underwings and black spots. Parr tries to kill them before they get to that stage.
So I'm going to need a hand here.
Okay.
So if you wouldn't mind. So what I need you to do is just hold that here.
He wraps the tree with a band of sticky plastic designed to trap the nymphs.
So hold that there, maybe even up here. Hold it up here.
They're easy to kill with pesticides, but those chemicals will also kill all the good bugs, so he tries to avoid that.
So I'll cut it right here.
A big challenge is that the moths will lay their eggs on everything. Furniture, rocks, toys, cars, which can then transport them across the country.
If you look up on our side of the picnic tables and the benches, you're going to find eggs. So you just...
Now, that's one right there on the chair.
Yep, there's one right there on the chair.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture just released $17.5 million to fight the lanternfly in southeastern Pennsylvania. Research money is pouring into universities like Penn State and Temple, and the USDA has sent scientists to China and South Korea. Fred Strathmeyer is a deputy secretary at Pennsylvania's Department of Agriculture.
Specifically to Pennsylvania, we estimate somewhere between, you know, $18 and $20 billion of industry could be affected, and that number could rise.
The federal government is also rushing to hire people who will fan out across the edges of the current infestation to track and kill the bug. Officials in New York are stopping and inspecting trucks at the Pennsylvania border. They fear the bug's impact on grapes and the wine industry.
You can only imagine if spotted lanternfly were to end up in the Napa Valley, for instance. Not be a good moment.
In addition to weakening trees by feeding on them, the adult lanternflies do even more damage. And it's gross. They excrete a sticky sweet substance called honeydew after they eat, which covers leaves and bark. Then that attracts black sooty mold, which grows on the tree, preventing photosynthesis. Parr says the honeydew and the slippery black mold have ended up all over decks and swing sets in the suburbs.
It's going to have a big impact. And if we had the adults right now feeding on these trees, on a willow tree in particular, it would literally be raining excrement on you, and we would leave here a sticky mess.
The irony is the lanternflies love to feast on an invasive plant species, the ailanthus tree, which came to the U.S. from China more than 200 years ago. The ailanthus tree, or tree of heaven, is now a ubiquitous urban weed tree.
Just think of all the ailanthus trees in Philadelphia. They line all the backs of the properties. Underneath all those trees, if you go look there now, and if not now, this time next year, everything underneath those trees is going to be black. Much like sooty mold in the city, right? You know, just particulate matter and air pollution. But this is going to be black from insect poop.
State and federal officials are optimistic they can at least contain it. But Parr says killing the lanternfly, just like the invasive emerald ash borer and the stink bugs that have come before it, will continue to be a big part of his business.
I feel it's spreading faster than what we can get under control. I can guarantee by the time the adults come out, I would look at the Finger Lake region of New York. I would look at the Baltimore region of Maryland and Washington, D.C. for it to be there.
And in fact, this spring, a thriving population of spotted lanternflies were discovered in Virginia for the first time. Susan Phillips, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.